Well, good morning, and for those of you that are with us, you're welcome to be seated at this time, and probably if you're at home, you might already be sitting, so you might just stay where you're at. Would you mind just joining me in a word of prayer? I'd like to pray for our church families, for health, for sorrow, for strength, for wisdom in the days that we're in today. Would you mind, even at home, would you just take a moment to maybe bow your head and join me in a word of prayer? God, I know there's not enough words that would solve all of our problems, nor that would heal all of our brokenness, whether it be physical health or emotional brokenness as we grieve. And so instead of using words, I ask that you would receive this prayer today and that by your Spirit you would work in our hearts and minds. And please bring healing and strength in ways that we do not even understand. And if you would please do that through your Holy Spirit working in our lives by your grace. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. Hey, before I dismiss the kids this morning, I want to just share a couple items with you today. One, I want to again thank our worship team. As we were singing this morning, that was our worship team that has been recorded and leading us, and they did a great job, sound real good. And so I'm so grateful for them just creatively working to provide a safe environment for our church to be able to gather on site and sing and have fun together. And so to them, I want to say thank you. And also, just a quick reminder, our Fusion student ministry, you guys, to check your text, sent out a kind of a mission project for today. So be checking that out, because we're not going to meet today, but you've got a mission work that you need to do today. So want to be the people of God on the move, right? No matter how old we are, so be checking that out. All right, with that being said, all the kids that are here today, if you'd like to go to Hope Kids, they are ready for you, and you're dismissed out to the back of the main doors. They're waiting for you, and they're going to direct you to class if you'd like to go. May the Lord bless you. Have a good time today. It's good to see you. Boy, it's exciting to see our kids going back to Hope Kids ministry on a Sunday morning. It's been a long time since we've been able to do that, and that's pretty encouraging. I love it. I love it. Man, you know, if you've been with us over these last few weeks, whether you've been on site or online, then you may have heard as we've been talking about making space in our lives for financial peace. And as we've talked about that, we have started with kind of a foundation that said everything is God's, and we manage it for Him, and God rewards good managers. And then in the part two, we said that, you know, money and possessions are really a means to an end. It's not the end in and of itself. And last week, we talked about how increasing our knowledge can lead to wisdom in practicing good financial habits that help us to have financial peace. And today we're going to wrap it up with the fourth and final leg of our series and make the statement that giving makes us better. That seems like an odd statement, kind of right out the gate there, that giving makes us better. That giving is actually a way towards financial peace. It kind of seems like it might be odd, like that wouldn't go there, but it does, and that's what our topic is for today as we get into the Word and we talk. Well, when you think about giving, my guess is that you might think about what it does for the other person, because inevitably when we give, why do we do that? Probably for most of us, we give because we want to do something that's going to help somebody else. So ultimately, we're already thinking about that person that is in front of us. Well, one of the things that Scripture talks about on the topic of giving is that, in fact, giving actually impacts our own well-being in positive ways. And one of those ways is that giving actually grows us. He said that giving grows us. Absolutely. And here's what I mean by that, that giving builds godly character. Giving builds godly character. I like the way that just kind of rolls off the tongue, if you will, that giving builds a godly character. That as you and I give, now do you think I'm talking just about money today? It might be where your head went. You think, he's just talking about giving money today. And it's like, yes and no. But you give more than your money, don't you? To bless people, take care of your children. Yeah, you give what? You give of your time, you give of the things that you have, the stuff you have to help out other folks. You may give of your money. You may use some skills that you have to help somebody else, maybe make a repair in their home or on their car, whatever the case may be. But we give, of course, to help other people, and we do that in certainly some unique ways. And the point that I want to kind of make with this is that, folks, when you and I give to bless other people, God grows our character to be more like his character. That giving is God's way, one of the ways in which God loves us and grows us. That as you and I give, what are we doing? We're loving somebody else, aren't we? And when you love somebody else, and you do it through a faith in Jesus Christ, that love that you pour out into someone else, God uses that to shape your character more and more into the character of Jesus Christ. Now, I pull this from the scriptures, and so I would take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to go to verse 18, and so I have it on the screens here, and Let me just read this to us. It says, so all of us who have had that veil removed, talking about salvation, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed in his image. Notice that as the Lord has saved and is saving us, that the Lord is also doing something else, making us more and more like Christ. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, should be our next verse here. Let's look at this. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, he says, now to equip his people for works of service, as White got talking about God giving spiritual gifts to the church. He says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you notice some words in there where he says, built up until we all. So this idea that it is this sort of journey that is ongoing journey. Become mature. Attaining to. It's this thing of moving onward, right? Of growing and growing and growing for our good, but coming through using what God has given us to bless other people. Using what we have. God wants to grow us as we do that. Well, I like this image. I want to throw this circle up here. I like this. I made this. It looks kind of crude, so it's like something I would make. But I want to use this because I like the idea of it, and I think it hits the nail on the head. As you and I give to bless others, the scripture's telling us that God is growing us as we choose to use the gifts of love that he's given to us to love other people. So as I give, then God's growing me. Well, here's the funny thing with this. As I grow, what is it that God's love leads me to want to do even more? Give, right? So I want to give because I know that it's the heart of God to want to give. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave, right? He gave. And as I keep giving, what does Scripture say God's really doing? Continuing to grow me in the character of Christ. It's this continual cycle that just keeps going and going and going. It's kind of, you know, you grow in the character of Christ. Simple, right? Hopefully maybe that image will stick with you as you're thinking about this idea that when we give, God is actually growing us for our good, but also so that for us, as we are growing, our thoughts and our longings, our desires are growing less and less about what's going to make me happy, what's going to make you happy, and what's going to be a blessing to the people around you. Love grows us to love even more. Giving is an act of love, and it makes us better. I like the second one. Giving, I would say that giving also protects us. Giving protects us from being pulled into the love of money. Remember, a couple weeks ago said that the love of what is the root of all evil? Said the love of, did you catch it? Of money. So it wasn't money itself. It was the love of money that's the root of so much evil. And so, you know, for us, we're thinking about one of the ways in which financial peace enters our lives. It makes sense then that giving would be one of those ways that helps us. Now, I'll be brutally honest. This seems backwards to me, in one sense, because practically speaking, if I want to be protected financially, let's just stick with money, right? If I want to be protected financially, then what do I need? I need money. But Pastor, you're saying, but by giving, that it actually protects me. That seems backwards. My head doesn't want to go there. I know. It's the craziest thing. But giving protects us. How does it protect us? It protects us, it guards us against greed. Giving guards against greed. Watch how simple this is. Can you think of a time when you were holding on to something so tightly and it wasn't going to fall out of your hands? And then you can think of when you open your hands and it fell out of your hands, you say, well, I should have held on that thing tighter, right? You and I, like, we get the concept of grip. And one of the things I love about giving is that giving loosens the grip of greed. We'll just go with the G's, right? That giving loosens the grip of greed. It's really hard to grip hard and to let go. It's hard to be letting go and to grip hard onto something, isn't it? It's like you can't really do that. If you open up your hands, you can't grip a hold of that. And so that's one thing I love, that I think when we give, it helps to guard us against the grip of greed in our lives, because greed becomes one of those areas where the devil can get a foothold in our lives and tempt us to believe the lie that the more that I have, the better protected I am. Now, last week we said we have to use wisdom. And one of those words of wisdom was, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. Giving helps guard us against the grip of greed. So there's a sense that you and I would say, you know what? I need to do the best I can to provide for me, my family, but also need to save and be prepared the best that I can for what the Lord may have in store down the road, but at the same time, also need to not be storing it up because I can't take it all with me. That in fact, that God's the one that owns it. He gave it to me. He wants me to use it to bless other people. And so here I go. I'm going to pour this out. I'm going to let go of the grip and open up and just be generous. And when you do that, the love of God that is generous in its very nature, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Love, agape love, surrenders. It sacrifices. It gives for the betterment of the person that's next to you. Giving is a powerful way of loving people. When we give like God, He grows us. But He also protects us from the deceptions of the enemy, trying to get us to think, look, you don't need to be giving that away, because you give that away, you're not going to have it. And boy, you sure worked hard for that. You deserve that. You deserve as much of that as you can get. You realize, don't you, that your value is in that stuff. The more money you have, the more you're worth. Well, see, that's not God's point of view. That's the enemy's point of view. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Your value is not tied to your money or your stuff or the things around you. Your value is tied to God, to the one who created you, to the Savior of the world who came to earth to save you. That's where your value is. And so as we give, it guards us against the greed of thinking, I have to have, because that's what determines how good I am. No, it doesn't. That's just foolishness. Giving helps us see our possessions in the proper perspective. It challenges us. I found in my story that giving also has a way of humbling you with the truth. When my wife and I first got married, and maybe you can relate, in the early years of marriage, things can be a little financially tight, you know, and was for us. So I was thinking back to those early years, and if I had Leslie up here talking about it with me, I know she would agree that when we would talk about giving to the church, right? She got it. I'm kind of a late onto the stage person. It took me a while to kind of get that tithing giving was something that was a healthy spiritual practice. And so, boy, we had numerous conversations where, let's just say, we didn't agree. And I can remember the times that I would sit down. Of course, I was balancing the checkbook, and, you know, and I'm looking at how much we got, and I'm looking at how much I made. And then, you know, in the early days that we were doing that, we were... And we still do this, but believing that, you know, the first fruits of what we have is 10% is a good percentage, just foundational level to use. And so we were doing that, and it's, again, still do. But when I looked at 10% of what I made, it kind of made me feel uneasy, because I thought, now, I don't make a whole lot of money, but that seems like a lot of money. And there's some things I really like to do with that money, or I feel like I need to do with that money. And every week, it was an internal wrestling. But I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And the more I did it, and the more we had that conversation, and the more I was in the Word, going to church, serving in ministry, and just kept wrestling with it over and over, the more what I found was I began to not just grow in wanting to do that, but I found that God was protecting me from that slippery slope of greed, where you hold on a little tightly and you go, okay, not too bad. Then the next time you hold on a little tightly too, and a little tight, and a little tight, and a little tighter. And you begin to believe the deception that you really are the greatest protector of yourself. And that you are the one that's determining everything about the future well-being of your life. I thought, that is not a Christian belief. That is not the way that a person of faith in the good sovereignty of God would believe. God is the owner. God is the creator, the giver, the sustainer. I am the steward. I am the manager. If I'm really a person that lives by faith, then I have to be willing to give to God the first fruits of what I bring in, because he's the one in the first place that let me have it. I have my employment because of him. I have my family because of him. I have the material things I have because of him. It's all come from him. And the more that I just grew, because I wasn't there in the beginning, right? I was not there. I was over in left field. And God, I love my wife. She was so strong and kept that truth right there in front. But remember this. Remember about God. Remember what God's word tells us, right? He just kept pointing me that direction. And over time, that truth protected me from holding so tight that I would miss out on the blessings that come from not just obedience to God, but also just the blessing of loving God and other people by practicing giving with generosity. I found that my character began to grow. I still got a ways to go, but I found that that was a significant part of me growing up in Christ and being protected from a life of greed. I have not found that any actions based on greed in my life have blessed me or blessed other people. I have yet to find that the world works that way, like that the world is ordered that way. I haven't. Greed doesn't produce goodness. It just doesn't. So giving generously protects us from that which doesn't produce good in our lives. And it's actually the Holy Spirit that protects us and grows us to keep coming, becoming more and more like Christ. It's powerful the way it all works together. And I give God thanks for that. It's one of those hard lessons you learn over the long haul. You ever learn those lessons over months and months of years and years? It takes you, you know, you guys are quicker than I am. I'm slow. It takes me a while. Let me take you to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me read this. He tells him to Timothy, he's like, hey, God, command those people there who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and here it is, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There's some mysterious connection between generously giving and storing up treasures for that coming age of the Lord's return. I don't completely understand it. I'll tell you that right now. But according to the scriptures, there's some connection between generously loving people through the things that we have today and how that impacts our future in the coming age at the return of Christ. But Paul says it does something else too. Lest we think it's all just future oriented, but in fact for today as well. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. A life that brings joy when you live it God's way. Have you ever done the things that you knew were the way that God wanted you to do it, and it felt good, right? Not that we want what we do to be about how we feel, but do you know what it's like? Do you know to generously give, to be obedient to the Lord, and it just feels good. It just feels like it's right, you know? Very natural type of feeling. Living truly the good life. That you know that. You know that. Where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit of God in you affirming that you're living the right life. You're living the true life that God has created you to live. And that sends me into my third and final point for today, which is that there's something to be said that giving refreshes us. That when you give, it just births joy inside you. And I really believe that comes from the fact that God created us to cultivate good in the world. And when you give to bless others, you're cultivating good in their life and in this world. And when you do what God created you to, man, it feels good. It refreshes you. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Let's just read this. Here it is. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You say, well, man, what do I do with that then? Well, some action points. Here we go. Real simple. Give of your talents. Thank you so much, Marla, this morning for already saying this so I can just now repeat and reaffirm what she said. To say, what can I do? Give of your talents. What are the things that you have the ability to do that you can use to bless somebody else? You say, well, you know what? I went to school for this. I think I could do well with this. I could help out. I could be a blessing. I could give of this talent and use that to help out my church, to help out my neighbor, to help out a family member, to help out a coworker. And they say, well, how much do I owe you for that? Nothing. Well, I had to give you something. No, I just wanted to just give of what I'm able to do. Just bless you. By faith. And God, I just wanted to just wanted to give and help you out. Just want you to know God loves you. I do too. And may the Lord bless you. You know, just giving of your talents to find easy ways. Sowing, something, we could make a list, couldn't we? What about a second one? Here we go. Give of your treasures. It's like, I knew he was going to come around to money again. I just knew it. He was going to get there. Well, here we are. How can we use our treasures? Which is more than money? Of course, we got money up there, but if you have diamonds, I'd be glad to take those. Just kidding. Oftentimes, we go straight to thinking about the dollar bills, and checks and money and checking accounts. But one of the easy ways of blessing the church, let's talk about the church for a second. Of blessing the church can be through material items, sometimes stocks, property that you have that the church needs that you can give. You say, that's an awful big give, but you know what? That would really bless the ministry of the church. And so, I feel like the Lord wants me to do that, and I'm going to do that. Maybe to somebody else, giving of something that you have. I remember when the first church that I was at, there was a couple there who were retired, and they had multiple vehicles, but there's only two of them. And so, they could almost drive a different vehicle every day of the week. And there was a younger family that we had, as a church, had been ministering to, and it blew me away that one day, because I knew what the family's need was, and I'm like, I don't really know how to meet this need. You just kind of like, I don't know what to do. And lo and behold, that family said, you know what? We're going to give you one of our cars. I thought, that's tremendous. Because in my head, I thought, well, that seems a little much. I was like, Andy, come on now. It's the Lord's. The Lord didn't think it was too much. The Lord thought it was just right. And that's what they felt burdened to do. And so that's what they did. I thought, man, And man, did that inspire my faith and encourage me. It was tremendous. Gave them a car. And now they could reliably get to work to make the money, right? To earn all they can, to pay their bills, take care of a couple kids that they had, and sustain a life they could grow from. And that's what they did. And I thought, that's what it's all about. That's what giving's all about. It's about promoting the well-being of others. I thought, Lord, help me to give like that. So the other one is give of your time. You and I have the same amount of time. Nobody has any more than others. It's just how we manage what we have. And it's how much we stretch ourselves sometimes beyond what we should stretch ourselves. And so one of the things that's easy for us to have financial peace is to remember, look, God has given me so much time. Am I going to use that so wrapped up in things that are not oriented around blessing other people because I'm just trying to balance all the plates in my own life? Lord, where do I need to say no so that I can say yes to giving of my time in a healthy way to bless you and to help advance your kingdom? Because I know that's what you're all about. I can't take all this stuff with me. But Lord, maybe if I can give and be a part of what you're doing, maybe I can influence others to see your goodness, to give you praise in heaven, as the scripture says, and that they will listen to your spirit, encouraging them to draw close to you, maybe to receive salvation for the very first time, and grow in a life of knowing your goodness day in and day out. Lord, if you can use what I have for that purpose, what a great life testimony, Lord, I think it'll be. Man, that's a powerful kind of prayer. That's a prayer, that's a powerful thought. I don't want to slam our culture, but much of our culture seems to not promote that way of thinking. Build for yourself. Build a name. Build an image. Build a bank account. Build your assets. Build a financial legacy, right? Much of our culture wants us to spend, get to build ourselves up. It's that sense of pride and greed. It's the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God really wants you and I to combat against those with humility, unselfishness, giving away, serving others, sacrificing for the sake of the gospel, being obedient to the Lord where he calls us to go, we go. Being transformed with love. Yeah. I got to tell you, for me, this is one of the most powerful teachings that I have spent the week working on in a while. Because it's not as much about how do we better understand God when we think about giving. Yeah, I gave you a little bit of that. But it's because so much of what, for me personally, so much of what I have for so long chased after and has caused me so much stress and anxiety over the years is stuff that really wasn't really building a life of peace. And the more that I have begun, you know, and experienced practicing these things I've been talking about today, I've been personally finding that this stuff really does work that way. Like, God's wisdom really is spot on. That over the long haul, it really does grow you. it grows you up in the character of Christ, and it really does protect you from greed, because giving gets you to loosen up your hands and release that grip that you want to keep so tight sometimes. But you can't do both really at the same time, so to speak, you know? It's kind of hard. We get it so we can give. And I find it really does bring joy. It really does. And joy is such a good medicine for the soul. And I think it works. Giving is a way to make space for financial peace and spiritual peace and emotional peace, relational peace, intellectual peace in our lives. Giving is a powerful act of love that transforms us. I want to encourage you, say, God, if you're willing, God, how's my giving? How's my giving? Am I giving in the way that you need me to? And just listen. And just look at your life. And see what God, see what he reveals. Listen to what he may speak. It may come through the simplest of little things in life, things you might not even expect. But he'll speak. Because you know, if any person lacks wisdom in their lives, the Bible says, ask God. Say, Lord, teach me the wisdom of how I'm giving in partnership with you to bless you and advance your kingdom and know the peace that you give to me. And he will answer because he does what he says. Let me pray for us. God, money is one of the most challenging topics to talk about. It seems that when we talk about it, that you have your wisdom, and it doesn't always align with what we grow up learning. So I'm asking today that through your word, by your spirit, moving, working through our faith, that you would please help us to glean your wisdom and become better. Would you grow us as we give? Would you protect us as we give in that spiritual battle? But would you also refresh us? And Lord, when I look at our life today, there's so much that is discouraging and just weary and tiresome. We need extra joy. So please refresh us as we choose to generously give to others. Continue to transform us as we live our lives in love for you and love for others as disciples of Christ. Amen.